you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Yeah. What's going on, everybody? What's happening? It's a Monday night. It's officially summertime. I'm sitting outside on the patio out here in beautiful Montauk, New York, enjoying the week. It's been a busy one the past few, but here we are enjoying. It's in season for me, and I'm sure other private chefs out there, we are in here rocking and getting ready to have a great show tonight, man. It's True Cooks night. I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. Chad's going to join us, but more importantly, right now, at the moment, I'm sitting here on the front porch in Montauk. It's a beautiful night outside. The trees are lit up. The sky is pretty, but I'm not by myself. No. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to introduce you guys to a good buddy of mine. I'm joined by the one and only Mr. Chef Rob Prado. Chef, what's going on this evening, man? How are you?
Not too much, Plum. Thanks for having me in.
Oh, dude, you rolled up here. You got your big-ass truck. You're looking like $1 million in your white pants. I mean, really, you look amazing walking up here. Here I am in the same shorts I've been wearing for 3 days and a cutoff shirt. You're making me look bad.
Well, you know, we had to go out tonight with the folks, and you can't look like crap in Montauk in the summer.
Absolutely. You look like $1 million, so I'm giving you a ding. How about that?
Thank you very much.
The soundboard's new for me. I'm still working on the soundboard and when to include it and use it.
Killing it.
Does it work? Is it working?
Okay, yeah. Terrific.
All right. Is this? You think people like this?
Boring.
Okay, I won't keep talking about it. We'll stop. Rob is a chef out here. It's funny. We went to culinary school about the same time, and almost 15 years ago. Is that right?
That's about right, yeah.
And here we are. You know, it's funny how your paths cross once or twice, maybe in school. And you don't think much about it. And then 15 years later, you're sitting here on a front porch in a beautiful house in Montauk and enjoying some beer by a citronella candle, listening to stupid sound effects on a radio show.
Some crazy stuff.
So Rob runs a place called Atlantic Terrace. He runs the Atlantic Terrace Eatery. And the funny part was I put there in the comments section of the show tonight how – I think late night food is interesting. I think us chefs, people think of chefs, they think of us eating this amazing hot cuisine, like, you know, hardcore food or sushi or things like that. But Rob just started doing a late night menu at his place. And dude, chili cheese, gravy fries with cheese. Are you kidding me? Like what made that happen?
Well, you know, growing up in Montauk and having way too many beers after way too many hours at work. And
don't make you that person.
You found yourself at Salivar's, and that was a late-night Greek diner,
right,
that did food for the fishermen. So they opened up at 4:30 a.m., which just happened to be when we were getting out of the bars, and that's what they had.
That was it, right?
Yeah, it was good stuff.
But then, you know, Saturday night here for you at your place, which is a nice hotel on the beach, you know, in an area where the bars are and stuff, people are coming out and showing up for you. And I mean, it's amazing how you can do the simplest food and people tear it up.
Well, you know, you still have to do it right and you still have to have ethics. But, you know, at the end of the night, people want to eat.
That's it. I came over to eat, and I ended up working for 2 hours.
I know. It was a little crazy. Kind of hijacked the line there, buddy.
I had fun, man. Well, look, here's the thing. You guys were getting a little bit busy. Your guy you had working on the line was definitely a deer in headlights. So I was like, I'm here. I'll work for my supper. I'll do it.
Yeah, yeah. You could have brought more beers, but, you know.
I brought two. And here's the thing. Just for you guys who don't know, Montauk is out here, like, in the Hamptons kind of area. It's past the Hamptons. Actually, Rob, being a Montauk guy, would you describe Montauk as part of the Hamptons or no?
No.
No, it's past the Hamptons.
Unfortunately, in the last 5 years, we've become the spot in
right.
the Hamptons. But we were always the un-Hamptons hamlet.
Okay.
But that's ruined.
Well, but when you think about it like that, though, and you talk about it, like to describe it to somebody else as to where it is, maybe somebody who lives in Kansas City or Texas, how would you describe it?
So we are the easternmost tip of Long Island. Mm-hmm. So 41 degrees north. Yeah, that's all.
I thought you were going to, like, break a whole, like, battleship coordinates down and get
rid of
it.
Yeah, you sank my battleship.
Yeah, that's where I was going. But it's definitely like a vacation spot. People are coming out here, but it's a fishing spot. There's some amazing food out here.
It has its moments. We definitely have our fair share of wealthy people who will spend money for cuisine, and that is a very fortunate thing for us. And we have some good farmers, and we're very fortunate to get the bounty of the ocean. And if you're even half talented, you can do some pretty amazing things with the stuff you're given.
Totally. And I think you and I both subscribe to the same kind of mentality of you know, great product. If you start with great product, that's half of the battle right there.
I would definitely agree with that. I think a lot of people that are actually really great chefs sometimes do too much with some of the great product that they're given.
Overthinking it.
Yep.
I mean, but with you guys, well, the point I'm kind of making here is that you're doing late night food. It's delicious, but it's not reinventing the wheel here. It's
boring.
I didn't mean to do that. That was a total accident.
No, but I actually agree with that button. I think that I would love to do cooler stuff. I don't think at certain times, even with my non late night stuff, we don't have the right clientele.
Right. What do you want at 2 o'clock in the morning? You want the drunk girls coming in from the bar who are gonna, you know, add an extra $1,000 to your sales for the night.
Absolutely, that's what we're going for. We're gonna pay the rent.
That's all it is. That's what you want. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. So anyway, Montauk, here we are. I got Chef Rob with me. We're sitting down here in the front porch of a beautiful house. We got some Montauk Brewing Company beer, a citronella candle burning because we do get mosquitoes out here. And we're going to have a nice, long conversation with our good friend Chad from True Cook, so it should be a lot of fun. You know, I try to get Chad on every now and then and catch up with him. And this guy, Rob, the amazing part, this guy is a chef. This guy has come from the same background we have. He's a hardworking guy. And about a year ago, he stopped working actually in kitchens to do True Cooks full time, a company where literally a year ago, if you ordered a shirt, he shipped it from his living room to you, and the amount of volume he was doing was just absolutely crazy. He told me, he would joke, he said, I used to label boxes and rotate them like it was a walk-in. That was funny.
I mean, listen, there's no substitute for success. If you're an organized, you know, I think the word we use is mise en place. You know you're going to be successful in anything you do, whether it's in a kitchen or, you know, selling t-shirts and, you know, cool knife kits and, you know, tongs and Sharpies with your brand on it, which is pretty awesome. I'm still waiting for mine.
we'll bring it up to him. Sorry.
No, it's all good. I actually didn't know I was going to get to talk to him personally.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I was pouring beers for us, if you guys couldn't tell. I just looked at Rob, who is the furthest thing from a media guy, and I was telling him to keep talking while I'm pouring, and actually he did pretty good there. That was pretty good.
Yeah, you know.
It was impressive. But listen, I think we should let's play a tune. I'll get Chad on the horn here, and we'll come back and chat with him. What do you think? Do you want to tell anybody where to follow you or where they can find you, man, so they can check out the food, check out what you're doing?
Yeah, it's not super excited. I'm not the best social media guy, but you can find me at
GrumpyCurmudgeon at AOL.com.
Well, if you talk to our friend Jeff, he has a much different name, but we're not going to mention that tonight. But you can find me at Chef Robert Prado. And at Instagram or chefprado.com or at the Atlantic Terrace Eatery.
There you go. That's the best place to find you right there.
That's where I spend most of my time.
Nicely done. All right, let's see if we can get Chad here on Skype, here on the new platform. We have to use Skype for everything. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a quick tune, and then we're going to get Chad on the horn, and we'll be right back. So good. If you guys got a second, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple or social media, wherever you get. And we really appreciate it. Of course, you can follow me at Chef_Plum. But if you're listening to this, you probably already do that. And we appreciate that. But please rate, review, and subscribe. It's a great thing. It's with the algorithm. Stay right there. We'll be right back. We're going to bring Chad on here. Here's my buddy Ryan Starr with Start a Fire. Be right back, guys. Checking out Plum Love Foods Live.
I remember when you said your father's asleep. I remember swimming as our clothes drifted off to sea. So wake up, dreaming, and lie here with me. Wake up, dreaming, and lie here with me. Here we go, just lose control and let your body give in to the beat of your heart as my hand touches your skin. This is love.
drinking as the stars were falling. I remember dancing on the hotels on me. So wake up, dreaming, and lie here with me. Wake up, dreaming, and lie here with me. Here we go, just lose control and let your body give in to the beat of your heart as my hand touches your skin. It's this love, oh, just sexual desire. We gotta start a fire. Here we go, just lose control and let your body give in to the beat of your heart as my hand touches your skin. It's this love,
live. Had a little issue there with some stuff, but we got it all figured out. But we're joined right now by the one and only Chef Chad Minton. Chef, what's going on? How are you, buddy?
Hey, Plum. What's happening, brother? How are you?
I'm good, dude. We're trying to figure out this new software. I apologize for the delay and figuring it out. And what I'm trying to figure out is how to play a song and then call you while the song's playing and be able to like set you up like I used to be able to do.
Right, yeah, that was really awesome.
But the sound was garbage before. Like, it sounded like I was talking to you from a phone from 1957. But now it's going to be beautifully
super
clear.
Right, but the new technology is better than the old technology.
It's supposed to be. That's what they tell me.
Well, I'm here, man. We're having a game of cornhole right now.
Nice.
We've got Ricardo, the chef from José Andrés' China Poblano.
Wow.
My buddy Sean King, he's the chef of Momofuku here in Las Vegas. A lot of listeners might recognize Christina, the a Seattle baker.
Seattle baker, yeah, she's great. Yeah. That's
so
awesome.
We're playing a little cornhole right now, and I'll tell you what, man, I just got a couple holes in one while we were waiting for to work this thing out. So.
Look at you, I bring the good luck, man. And hey, I got Chef Rob Prado with me here from Montauk hanging out. Rob, say what's up to Chad.
What's up, Chad?
Hey, Rob, nice to meet you over the phone. How are you, sir?
It's nice to meet you, too. Hey, Sean, watch out for your cornhole.
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going?
He yelled, hey, how's it going? I heard him. Chad, dude, I always love catching up with you, man. You're one of my favorite guys to talk to. I appreciate you taking the time to come hang out with us tonight, man. We're sitting here on a front porch. I got a citronella candle burning. We're drinking a couple beers, enjoying the weather out here in beautiful Montauk. Man, I know you're out there having a little party, but there's a whole lot going on in your business life, man. I was just explaining to Rob about how, I guess it was about a year ago, wasn't it, that you ended the kitchen life for yourself and went full-time True Cooks.
Yeah, man, it's been one joyous, terrifying, exciting, wonderful, glorious, terrible year.
But in a good way?
Of course, man. I mean, every day I have to give blessings for the opportunity that I've been given. And you know, I mean, we're not going to slip on that. You know, of course, in the same time, you know, I miss all the guys that I worked with in the kitchen. But, you know, this is like a once in a lifetime opportunity. So we have to go hard. And, you know, right now, we're just having a blast with True Cooks.
Dude, and so I was telling Rob about how you used to actually ship the orders from the living room. Like, I was joking with him and telling him how you once told me how you used to rotate boxes like it was a walk-in at the house, man. And no more of that, right?
No, that's gone, man. Our friends at Spiceology in Spokane, Washington, are doing all of our distribution.
Great
so
company.
After, you know, after 12,000 packages, Tanya's shipping life is over with, and now I'm kind of charged with running True Cooks like a grown-up business.
Well, that's what it should be, man. I mean, you guys are just killing it still. I mean, it's funny. I feel like you weathered the storm. Like, it got really busy and crazy and was a giant name, but you're still around. Like, it's like a good restaurant. Like, a great restaurant, you know, can come in and be a new place, and it's good for 6 months, and it kind of starts to fade, and in a year it's gone. But if they can weather the storm, they'll stick around and survive. It's that whole 1 in 5 theory, man. Is that the same kind of idea with True Cooks? Like, we're through the hard part now? Like, we're not going anywhere?
No, God damn it. The hard part's every day. But I will say that this is a marathon. It's not a sprint. So, you know, as long as we keep doing the good work and, you know, we're putting, you know, creating opportunities for people and really entertaining people, you know, as long as, you know, the way I see it now, if from something that I create can bring a little bit of joy or a smile to somebody's miserable, you know, 12-hour shift, then I'm doing the Lord's work.
That's it. Well, one of the things we have to talk about, dude, right away, and it's kind of taken over Instagram and other social media, is the new guy. talk about that, dude. It's so funny. I see it everywhere now.
Thanks for mentioning that, man. Yeah, that little fucker.
You know, that guy.
We're talking about the new guy. These guys are all fucked, the new guy.
Dude, that's what I said. Rob, have you seen, hang on a second, Chad. Rob, have you seen the new guy comics on True Cooks Instagram?
I did not.
You got it's a little comic. It's about basically, you know, hey, I've got my knives in my apron, and it's all the big, you know, cartoon comic book bubbles that says at my last restaurant.
Yeah, you're new crusade.
That's it. That's what it is. But yeah, what a great thing to put out there, Chad.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it's just this funny thing that, you know, I actually started drawing it in Chicago at the National Restaurant Association. You know, I was at the booth.
Wait, are you doing the art?
Yeah, that's all me.
Are you serious, dude? I didn't know that.
Yes. Oh, that's cool.
No. I draw everything. I write everything.
Bro, that's sick.
We have an awesome young lady, Caitlin, at Spiceology that does all the lettering for me because my handwriting looks like a retard and does all the inking.
I can relate.
I do the story. I pencil everything out and then I take a, you know, scan it and send it to her. And then, you know, she does all the inks and lettering. And, you know, we just started drawing it at the booth at our True Cooks booth at NRA, the National Restaurant Association, poor choice of acronyms on their part. The National Restaurant Association, just to keep ourselves amused. And we were drawing these funny pictures and we were just like, oh my God, you know, we have to flesh this out and give them a little bit of a story. And,
wow,
you know, it seems like folks are so sensitive these days, you know, like I'm not trying to ostracize anybody or make anyone, you know, that it's new to the industry, you know, feel wrong by the new guy. But I think that the new guy is something that universally we can all kind of relate to. And, you know, like even as a term of endearment, you know, you don't want to get too attached to the new guy because they might not be here in a week or 2 weeks. So you don't even really want to learn their name or get too attached and find out about them too much because, you know,
it's like the new guy
a little bit. You know, I think that and there's a longer narrative to the new guy. It's not just one joke. And as the comic develops, you're going to see that, you know, it's not mean spirited. Quite the contrary, that, you know, the restaurants, the mini restaurants that the new guy is going to work in, you know, each one that he goes to gives him the tools that he needs, the support that he needs, the direction that he needs, and it's not a bullying thing. It's just this silly fun, you know, thing just for us, and that's what True Cooks always was, and and I see the new guy and all the comics that we're going to do and material, you know, is just an extension of that.
Is new guy going to get a shirt? Is that the plan?
Dude, I don't. I want Funko new guy bobbleheads.
Fuck yeah, that'd be awesome.
You know, fuck a shirt, man. I want an animated new guy, you know, a half-hour Netflix deal.
That'd be so funny, man. Listen, I think when I eventually build a network here, we should have you be the character of the new guy and do a show and just talk about your daily life working in different restaurants.
Oh, man, I'd love that. You know, and again, as the thing develops, we're going to write him into real restaurants. We're going to write – he's never going to work in the same place for the same strip. So,
yeah.
The current strip, you know, he's working at a bistro. You know, the one I'm writing right now, he's in France doing a stage. And, you know, when he comes back to the States, then, you know, the world around the new guy will always develop and there's a longer narrative. But the thing that doesn't change is the new guy. So, and I think that might be like where the humor lies in it.
You know, I just can't get over, man, that you actually draw that. Like, I had no idea. It's like artistic talent there, bro.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Well, you know, for the 5 years that we've known each other and the 6 years that I've been doing all the designs for True Cooks, you know, we don't have a design lab, you know. I do everything.
That makes sense.
And, you know, I do everything.
Would that be in the kitchen?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Rob said, would the design lab be in the kitchen?
If you were shipping out of the living room.
I got you.
Yeah, it's varied, man. You know, like all of the stuff obviously comes from the kitchen. But, yeah, you know, like where I spend the bulk of the work at, you know, like, well, now I've got a studio. So, you know, I can be a big shot and sit in front of my easel and, you know, if I spill a little paint on the floor or put a hole in the wall, it's not the end of the world.
Do you listen to, like, just awful music when you paint and get yourself, like, in the zen, like, to get ready to draw the comic?
It's funny you ask that, man, because actually we do mood music here. You know, my wife and I, Tanya, we have, like, a 1956 mid-century modern house, and it's very unique, and it's kind of like that 60s space age vibe. So yeah, we listen to like 50s exotica and like Hawaiian party music and like all this really esoteric shit, and you know, like things without, you know, words.
Well, dude, congrats on that. I saw too that you guys got the house in Vegas, man. You guys, you know, you made your purchase and bought the house, and that's always a you know, a step in the like being a grown-up direction. But for you, what I think is amazing for young culinarians and young people out there, just to see, you know, from an entrepreneurial standpoint, that, I mean, you did that, and here you are now doing True Cooks, which, you know, not too long ago was just an idea. And here you are buying a house in Vegas.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, the whole thing has kind of progressively snowballed. And, you know, it was very difficult walking away from my job. I have a great deal of affection for it. I love all the folks that I worked with. And it was really kind of a dream job for me. I was the executive chef of the Highlands Inn in Carmel, California. And had been there for 3 years. But the reason why I was there was because of True Cooks. And we started in New York, and, you know, our tiny little apartment there was True Cooks outgrew it. So that's why we went to Carmel. And the reason why we left Carmel and do this was True Cooks. And no, man, it's not a very typical business minded move to quit your lucrative job and buy a house out of state and hope to finance it from your hobby business. So, you know, so far so good. You know, I mean, we've worked our asses off on this place for the past year, and now it's ready to bring some people over. So last week we dropped a one-day vacation. It's something that we've done every year. It's,
yeah,
like
talk
a,
about that.
A
that's a pretty cool
or
thing.
A hat or, you know, whatever. And this year we wanted to put a little bit more weight on it. We're going to do those Hawaiian, like, print True Cooks logo shirts again this summer.
Sweet.
But I wanted to add a little bit more weight to it and bring somebody out here. Just simple repost contest. We dropped it on Saturday night on True Cooks on the Instagram. And we're going to pick somebody to and fly them out here, and I'm going to pick you up at the airport, and we're going to hang out for a one-day vacation. Come over here, hang out poolside, you know, chill in the culinary library, check out the True Cooks lab, and really just talk about food and cooking and, you know, fucking whatever, you know, like whatever. Just chill, have a good time, like a proper one-day vacation for some hardworking line cook somewhere. And, you know, like, it's not much, but, you know, I don't have much, but it's the most that we can give back and try to style somebody out. And, you know, that's something that we always want to do with your cooks. So, yeah, man, that's happening. So next Saturday night, we'll announce whoever the winner is. And,
yeah, that was my question. You know, so it's next Saturday we're going to find out who wins that, right? And how do people
and
enter
it's totally
that?
Chill, you know, based off of their availability, based off of when they can get a day off or whatever, then, you know, we'll fly them out here and we'll hang out.
Is it too late to enter?
Rob wants to
No, it's never too late to enter.
I would love a one-day vacation.
Right? I mean, anything more than that's kind of a commitment. But for a cook, you know, I mean,
I'm
chef,
free,
you know,
October
yeah.
9th.
So it's very seasonal out here in Montauk, and Rob works his ass off basically from, say, May till October. Is that about right?
Yeah.
The mic up.
Sorry, October. Yeah, May to October, like, yeah, mid-October.
It's just getting just destroyed for months at a time. So, but Chad, how do people enter that contest?
All they got to do is just go to that to the True Cooks Instagram page and take a screen grab or use one of those fancy repost applications and just post the picture that we put up. It's a cool float on our pool, and it says one day vacation, True Cooks, hashtag True Cooks, and automatically entered. And we'll pick somebody to fly out. It'll be fun. We'll hang out for a day.
And dude, here's the reason, man. I got to tell you. So I don't repost it. I want to tell you why. Because I know that you actually really do pick the winner randomly. And if I reposted it and you actually picked me to win, like, everyone would throw a fit and be like, what the
fuck?
Well,
I would obviously not accept that winner. And people that are, you know, affiliated with True Cooks or work for True Cooks or whatever, it's like, they're out. And, you know.
Damn it.
It's funny, man, the psychology that goes behind a post like that, because we were all just talking about that here, and I kind of expected, like, probably about double of the response we got. And I know before I even post it that if you put that many words in a post,
people don't
like
read
that
it.
Many, you lose people. And,
they don't read it.
You know, to be able to explain what the deal is and what we're trying to do with it. And, you know, it's just one winner. It's not this huge thing, but it could be a huge thing for somebody. And
there's lots of guys out there that would be amazing for.
Sure. But when you put that many words in a thing and it's not like a sexy food shot or something, like, you don't really get the same response off of social media that the situation calls for. That's all I'm saying. So. But no, we had a great response, and we're going to get somebody out here. And there's a lot of fun things that we're going to do in 24 hours that are not typical Vegas. I've been here for, it'll be a year in August, and I haven't been to a strip club. You know, like, I'm not out at all these fucking fancy restaurants. You know, I mean, we stay here at the house, we cook here, and there's a lot of cool things you can do in Vegas that aren't like fabulous.
Well, look, if I do repost it and enter the contest, if I win, will you just tell me? I don't. You can pick a new winner, but just tell me, hey, I did pick your name first.
Yeah, of course.
Nice. That's all that matters. That's all that. Hey, I want to tell you, man. I'm doing a new show on Station Head, and it's for Spotify and Apple Music. It's pretty awesome. We did our first one. It's called Brooklyn Live. It's live in Brooklyn. It's a lot of fun, and I guess who I hung out with for the evening that night.
I couldn't guess. No idea.
Your homie Ori came out to the live show, and she hung out. We went to dinner. It was great.
Where'd you go eat?
This Brazilian place in Brooklyn. I can't think of the name of it right now. But
Brazilian, huh?
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, Ori was losing her mind because they were busy and taking forever with food, and she kept getting up and screaming at the server. It was so funny. I was laughing my ass off.
She's a lot of fun. We spent a lot of time together in Brooklyn. You know, we opened that one hotel, Brooklyn Bridge,
yeah,
together.
Yeah, yeah. But I thought you'd appreciate it, man. She's a really good person, man, and I enjoyed talking to her and hanging out and appreciate
no
all
doubt.
Her support. She was awesome, man. She was
a
great
busy girl,
kind of kick it. Yeah, very talented. She's back in the food world now, too, which is even better.
She's one of those people that can do whatever she wants to do, and she's going to be pretty good at it. I was hoping that she was going to pursue real estate, to be honest.
Really?
Absolutely. I want to see Ori paid. You know, she's put in her dues, and you know, she's, you know, you get to a point in your life where you've, or maybe an age in your life. I don't know what comes first, the point or the age. But
no, I think it's different for everyone.
You start questioning, you know, how much longer you can do this. You know, what's the end game, and you know, it's something that everybody has to have.
You know,
it's a bridge that everybody has to cross.
I told you on the phone earlier, man. I turned 40 in March, and I've had almost like a reinvigoration in the food business, man. With my, you know, my current situation with what I'm doing with doing this show and doing the TV show and working with my private client that I have now, and it's almost like I'm completely reinvigorated, and I feel like I'm at a better space from a food standpoint than I've been in years. I went and worked a line at Rob's place. I went and worked a line. I haven't done that in years. Saturday night, went over there. He was busy, and I just happened to jump on a line. And Rob, we did, what, 2 hours over there?
Yeah, you definitely jumped in, took over about 2 hours. It was quite amazing. I definitely did not see that coming, and it was a very welcome thing. And I'm in a very similar state to you, where, you know, 15 years private, and then going back to the line. Last year in April, I was petrified at doing something that I thought I was amazing at, you know, 15 years before that.
Totally.
And I would love to say that, you know, I really like True Cooks, and I love the message it sends. And one of the first chefs I ever worked for, whenever anybody was like, oh, chef, I'm a chef, he'd be like, we cook. We're cooks.
Yeah.
And
Chad and I have
stay grounded. The only person I want to see walking around with a giant hat that says chef on it is Raekwon from the Wu-Tang Clan.
By the way, completely PS moment. I think late July I'm having him on the program, by the way.
That I can't wait. That's going to be exciting.
No bullshit, because the whole Brooklyn thing. But, you know, you and I have talked about that, Chad. What Rob just said is that, there's no shame in being a cook, man. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'm a cook. I've been doing this 25 years.
No, God damn it. I've got three chefs here sitting right in front of me of very, very, very high revenue celebrity Las Vegas chef bullshit. And I promise you that these guys are cooks. And the way that you're a good chef is that you're a good cook. And the only way that you can become a good cook is that you have to fucking cook.
That's it.
That's the trick. So as a young person wanting to become a good cook, how do you become a good cook? Well, you have to cook your ass off. And the investment that you make on the front end of your career will take care of you on the back end of your career, theoretically. Or you could be like me and be like fucking stitched together and held together with fucking, you know, scotch tape and staples and still trying to do it and facing, you know, like Rob was saying, walking onto the line after, you know, 15 years. That's a scary endeavor.
It is. And I think the whole thing came from talking about our friend Ori. And, you know, it's in your blood, man. You can't get away from it. You can work other jobs. You'll probably make your way back to being in a kitchen. And she's doing well for herself now. She's doing some private stuff, and there's some money there. And I think she'll do fine, man. And you know, like I said, it was great for her to have her come support. But you know, to kind of make it from a global standpoint from the whole conversation is that it's amazing to see how many friends that I've made from the social network itself of True Cooks that support everything. And, you know, from being there to having, you know, a whole bank, you know, a bank inside of my head of cooks that I could call to help do catering work, to doing other shows in the city, and folks like Ori show up or folks like Omar show up. It's awesome. That's all from the network that you've built that has now, you know, put.
Well,
you...
yeah, there's about 250,000 other people that had something to do with that.
Yeah, no, but, you know, and I've always listened. You are always the first guy ever to put over everyone else for it. And that's the right way. That's what a real leader would do. But, you know, I always have given you a little credit for it. And it's, you know, it's well deserved, man. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, I certainly appreciate that, Plum. And, you know, like, you know, the reach of True Cooks is humbling, and yeah. And it is constantly humbling. And the way I see it, you know, and a lot of the motivation going into the creation of it is, think about all the rad people you work with over your career, and you go somewhere, maybe you take another job, maybe they take another job, and as chefs, we don't really stay in touch with each other that well, you know. You don't, even though you're thinking about somebody and you miss them fucking dearly, you put in the hours and you're tired and you got to go home and self-medicate, and then you think about these people when you're laying in bed before you go to sleep, that you've worked with, that you've bled with, that you've, you know, metaphorically gone to war with. Yeah. and making sure cooks could be a tool to keep all of these people connected somehow, right?
It's almost made it okay for cooks and chefs
and whatnot and everybody else. It's almost made it okay to where I got a text today from a guy named Cupcake Casey in St. Louis. He's a baker. He sent me a text and just out of the blue and said, hey, brother, I'm thinking about you. Miss you. Love you, buddy. Hope you're doing well. Like, that's the world that we've become now,
yes.
I think, in a world of chefs. And that's okay. Rob and I became friends last year. I talk to him probably once a day now, and he's sitting here right now with me because we're chefs. He knows what I go through every day. Like, we're just hanging out bullshitting because he gets it. Nobody else gets it. You know what I mean?
To me, it's amazing how you don't have to have 15 years together to understand what the last 15 years were.
Absolutely not.
If you're really doing it. If you just buy a fancy apron and a new chef knife and, you know.
The new guy.
You know, but we were all the new guy once.
The new guy has a taste for the finer things in life.
Yes, he does.
And whether that be an apron or, you know, a pair of gold tweezers in his, you know, in that apron.
Speaking of that, I believe I ordered a knife roll that is not supposed to be here till like mid-August.
That's right.
Before I knew I was doing this show with Plum.
You kidding me? Let me ask you this question, Rob.
Yes.
Did you go black or did you go camo?
Oh, camo all the way.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Yes.
You can tell a lot of people. You can tell a lot about a person by which color they go with or which donut they pull out of the donut tray.
Well, I love America. So...
If faced with the challenge, you might go with the red, white, and blue donut.
Absolutely. Well, I would eat all the donuts.
The funny thing, Rob, though, is that you get a big tough guy like Chef Plum, and you think he's going to go for like you know, an old fashioned, and he picks the sprinkled footlong. What does that say about him psychologically?
Well, how well do you know Chef Plum? it looks like he ate all the donuts.
Right, that's hurtful.
No, listen, I would be right there fighting you for the last one.
Listen,
Rob, you sound like a nice guy, but he's right. In today's climate, that does sound like bullying.
Thank you.
Oh man.
Oh fuck, that was awesome. That was awesome. But it's important, I think, that the network itself, and I think the network that has been built around chefs these days, about, you know, you meet chefs from all over the place, you meet chefs from different states, different countries, different places all over the world, and now I think thanks to things like True Cooks has kind of made it to where it's, you know, like I said, it's okay that, hey buddy, miss you, talk to you soon, or love you buddy, that kind of thing, because people don't understand what we go through, and I think a lot of that is because of a network like True Cooks, a group of people who have come together to bond over what we do. We're a broken band of pirates. We're the fucking lost boys. That's who we are. And I guess lost people. We can't say boys and girls anymore. Is that right, Chad? I don't know.
Sometimes it's just as simple as you know, liking a picture to keep in touch with somebody.
That's it. You're totally right.
I mean, that's how it is for me. You know, and it's hard for me to mod who's liking what, because things get pushed down the feed so quickly. But,
right.
You know, when I see, you know, hey, Chef Plum liked the picture. Okay, that's kind of like, a phone call or kind of like a letter back in the old days.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like the acknowledgement.
Yeah, man, and it's a collective consciousness. And that's really, you know, what you know, being a better person, being more aware of what's going on around you. It's something that we should all strive for. You know, I had the best conversation. I'm going to name drop with Jason McLeod.
Oh, okay.
Two days ago. And he's the chef co-owner of Consortium Holdings in San Diego.
Do you want to pick that up for you? You dropped something here.
It's the best restaurant group in San Diego. There's absolutely no question about it.
They're killing it out there.
Yeah. He worked for Marco Pierre White, and he's amazing. Canadian, and he's got a lot of perspective. He's my age. And, you know, we were kind of talking about, you know, True Cooks and, you know, where we're going with this. And, you know, we both kind of agreed that even though we came up, you know, working out of fear, that's not really the look. And as we grow as an industry and as we grow as cooks and chefs, you know, working out of fear, even though that's the way that we came up, it's fucking wrong. And that's not the way to carry on. And I kind of see it as like a circle of abuse with like, you know, abusive husbands or domestic abuse. You know, a lot of case studies say that's the way that they were brought up. It doesn't make it right, but it kind of explains why it happens. So here we have an opportunity, you know, and I'm not saying that we're all unicorns and fucking, you know, bunnies and rainbows and stuff, but at the same time, I mean, some of the things that I was put through as a young cook, some of the things that he was put through as a young cook, just doesn't fly morally. So, you know, it's a responsibility to kind of usher in a slightly more kind world.
You know, listen, here's the thing. So I agree with you to a point. I do. I think that... you know, some of the things that I did as a young cook growing up in this business, or some of the things I was a part of as a young cook growing up in this business, was more accepted back in the day, back in the, you know, early 90s and whatnot, in the late 80s. It was just more accepted, where now it's a different world we live in. But I don't know, man. I don't want to say I agree with hazing and things like that, but I do agree with bottom man on the pole. Like, you got to earn it. I had to earn it. Rob had to earn it. You had to earn it. It's about earning it and showing your worth, because in our industry,
well, that's
there's so much turnover.
Simply learning a trade.
Well, right.
It's simply learning a trade. And if I'm going through the perspective, perception of a young person entering this industry, you know, I want to make it very clear to them that they can supercharge their resume, that they can supercharge their potential for success by sacrificing on the front end.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be my age working fucking two line cook jobs simultaneously.
No.
Because your fucking body can't do it.
I mean, okay? I'm going to tell you that right now. That's 72 years old. That's 72 years old working the line. That's crazy.
No, I'm talking about being fucking in your 40s and working two line cook jobs.
No, I was joking.
If you're really doing it, then I'm saying bullshit, because your body can't take it.
Right.
There's no way.
Chad, I'm 43 in 2 weeks, and I have a tough time doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm the boss now, so, you know. But,
well, I mean, Chad's 73 years old.
So. Oh, all right. All right.
October.
Can I get some of that unicorn blood?
In October. I'd like to.
But listen, here's the
thing. Strike that from the record.
I'm kidding. Chad's not 73, but... You see these people. I mean, there's things coming out now where people are like, you know, let's get rid of this. Let's get rid of the hazing. And I'm not with the hazing and all that. But in any industry in this freaking world, whether you're an electrician, whether you're a construction guy, whether you are working for a hedge fund, there's bottom of the pole and there's the top of the pole. Rob, am I wrong? Like, you work your way up.
You have to work your way up. But I also think that there's something. You can't take advantage of people. And now that I have employees, I've definitely learned to see the value in every employee.
Okay.
And you know, last year I had a guy who worked for me, and he couldn't see the value of this guy that I had. Well, he's no longer here, and that guy's still working for me, and he's killing it right now.
Right.
So,
that's well said, you know.
He wasn't the fastest guy, but he didn't drink every night after work. He showed up. He was happy. You know, he took a
it's
whole
bunch
of...
It's about finding people's strengths, Rob. It's not about, like, you know, nitpicking people's shortcomings.
Yeah.
You know, I can work one shift with a cook and determine whether or not they've got it or not. You know, I mean, it's very obvious to me at this stage of my life.
I don't even know if it takes that long.
That's not to say that they can't earn a living and provide for their family through... cooking, and there's and that's what's so rad about this trade is that you don't necessarily have to take that atypical come up of being a line cook and then becoming a sous chef and then becoming a fucking departmental chef. And then, you know, and it worked for me and it works for some guys, you know, but it sucks. And so, and there's a lot of free spirited people out there that just aren't programmed. They're not built for that, where, you know, instead of running them out of the kitchen, I would urge them to look for other opportunities, whether it be in like purchasing or grocery stores,
sure,
or a fucking podcast. I don't know.
Hey, ouch. Ouch! I still cook.
Wow!
You know, of course you can, but like, to my point though, there's a lot of ways that you can earn a living if you don't, if you're not built for being a line cook, and not everybody is, man. It's like the front line. There's a reason why they call it the line. It's coined from the fucking 19th century French military. All of this was designed by Escoffier, and the line is the front line. It's a direct reference to the fucking front lines of World War One. So
yeah, man, blood, sweat, and tears.
You know, the military, you know, brigade reporting structure, all of that stuff is intrinsically built into our trade. You have to be aware of it, you know, and not everybody's built for infantry. Maybe some people are better, you know, at communications or, I don't know, public relations.
No doubt about it. Listen, it's one of those things where I think, I don't know. I keep going back to it. And by the way, I gotta defend myself a little bit, Chad. Not sure if you see my Instagram these days, but I'm feeling very confident on my food. I feel like it's looking really good. I mean, I'm just
saying. Cooking a lot.
Yeah, well, it's my season, brother. That's what we do. We're rolling. We're kicking ass. I'm supposed to be off tomorrow, and I'm working because I want to go do a dinner. So it's gonna be awesome.
You did burn the quesadilla.
Oh, go
Saturday
fuck yourself.
Okay. I had to get all Chef Ramsay on him.
He did.
Tell him he couldn't serve that.
I left a quesadilla on his entirely way too hot flat top, Chef. That's what I did. He's yelling at me for it.
Standards.
Is that what it was?
He's cut off standards.
But a hot plancha.
Yeah, but it was fucking way too hot. Like, dude, you want to keep one side hot, one side a little less hot, and whatever, it's fine. I fixed it right away, though. He's talking about Chad when I went and took over his kitchen last Saturday night, which was a lot of fun. But you see this stuff, and you see these guys coming up, and you see these guys who, I don't know, and we don't have to get in a long conversation about it. We could do an hour on this by itself, but you see these guys who come in, they graduate culinary school, they come out, or they want to come into the business, whether it's doing an apprenticeship or something like that, Rob, and they want to come in, and next thing you know, they're working in a restaurant, and they come up with an idea, just an idea, and now all of a sudden, that idea has its own Instagram page, and now they want to sell merch for this idea, but they're not really doing anything, and that's what drives me absolutely batshit crazy. And Chad, I'm sure you've seen a lot of that. I'm sure you've been approached by a lot of those people.
Well, Plum, up until about a year ago, I had a staff of 50 to about 100 people for about 10 years.
Wow.
And had to manage, you know, a budget of about $25 million, food and beverage. And yeah, man, I've spent a lot of time with young people entering the industry. And I can't stress enough that, you know, if for instance, 5 years ago or 10 years ago, you thought you were spending a lot of time, you know, with your staff, with your employees, you were investing a lot of time being a good mentor.
Yeah.
In order to be successful moving forward in the society and the time and day that we live in, you're going to have to invest even more because there is such a demand and such a need for young cooks that in order to retain them, God damn it, you better be the best mentor you've ever seen. And it's a difficult balance to keep standards going and to keep the theme and keep the direction and everything of the restaurant and the consistency, but also be able to play to these young people's egos and to be able to allow them the freedom to create something that is quote unquote theirs.
But should they have an ego, Chad? That's what drives me crazy.
Well, you know,
I wasn't allowed to have an ego. I got a feeling you weren't allowed to have one either. Rob, I know you weren't allowed to have
one. No, but we all had one, and it was just repressed until it was our time.
So am I the asshole?
That's well said.
No. I agree
okay
with what I agree with what you're saying, but I definitely lean a little more towards Chad's take and you know, trying to find everybody's strengths and weaknesses and using some of that psychology I picked up before I dropped out of San Diego State. you know, you gotta take what you're given and work it. But you know, I went to culinary school. I learned a lot of what to do, what not to do.
Sure.
Most of it was to not hire anybody that went to culinary school. you know, everybody that graduates from CIA seems to want to make $100,000 and they can't make an omelet.
But is that their fault or is it the emissions fault?
I think it might be a lot of the emissions fault.
That's a good question Chad just asked. That's a really solid question.
You know, I saw that industry change. The school was changing while I was there. It's a machine. I do not send them any money.
Can we just clarify and just for the put the cards on the table, Rob is a CIA graduate, much like myself.
I am. I have that accolade.
Would you mind me asking what your respective tuitions were?
I spent over $50,000.
Yeah, I'd say over 50 grand. I am proud.
And that's
to
a
say,
two-year curriculum, correct?
Yes, no bachelor program.
Right. But it is a degree.
There's no bachelor program and that's
well,
credit,
no there is.
Though.
Well, there is a bachelor program.
So Plum was a year and a half behind me. So
right.
when he got there, the school had just become accredited. I was there. That happened halfway through my time there. I have had horrible luck with.
I'd agree with that.
With anybody who's been associated with that, the school, from a hiring standpoint.
You know, but I will say this, man. So, Chad, one thing, and I want to talk about some drops that are coming up with True Cooks, and we got time here. But it's. You know, with being at CIA, the one for me in my life, I needed the discipline at that time, and CIA provided that discipline that I never had in my life ever. I came from an alcoholic mother. My father died when I was young. I never had that discipline, and CIA gave that to me. But not only did it give it to me, it kicked my ass with it, and then it gave me a degree, not a certificate, a degree. I have an associate's degree. In culinary arts and business management, much like yourself.
You know, amen. And
that's a good thing.
I don't want to take away the value. I mean, I spent it. I spent the money. I learned a lot. No one's ever asked to see it. And
never have. That's
but,
very true.
But I do think that program helped me get to where I am. But I was also not 19. I think that a lot of the 19-year-olds going in there come out.
Well, they don't make it.
Yeah, they come out. They're the guys with the idea, with the Instagram page. They're like, oh, I'm a chef, I'm a chef, I'm a chef. Even when I graduated from there, I wasn't like, I'm a chef. I was
either.
A cook, and I was just looking to better myself. And, I mean, I wouldn't have went if my parents would have stopped breaking my balls, I wouldn't have went.
Wow, how about that?
And now, what an amazing industry that we all work in where – you know, a high school dropout such as myself with no family. My mother died in an automobile accident when I was 16. You know, that we could all kind of find ourselves with, you know, professional, quote unquote, professional jobs.
Yeah.
You know, with it's the journey, I think,
for sure.
that's fun. And you have to enjoy that. And you really have to have a passion for, you know, pleasing people and exceeding people's expectations. And those are the people that are going to be really successful in hospitality. I mean, some folks, you know, absolutely have, you know, a little bit better natural skill level in managing the stove, you know, and others don't. It's not to say that the ones that don't aren't destined for, you know, culinary greatness. It's just that they have to be really honest with themselves and accept the fact that you're not getting this. And that was one of the biggest hurdles I had as a young cook, was just really fucking up the same thing so many times until you really, really, really understand the process.
Right.
And you really understand what's going on with this. And the only way that you can get good at making an omelet is that you have to crack a few eggs.
You just keep doing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Over and exactly. over and over again. I say it all the time, and we can end this conversation on this note, and you guys can, unless you want to chime in, but food has done a lot for me. Food has put me here right now talking to you two gentlemen, two of the coolest guys I know. Food has given me my wife. Food has given me my children. Food has put food and fed my family for years because I can cook food. And Chad,
and we'll
the sad part was, man, we figured out a few weeks ago, I have been getting paid to cook food since 1993, and I felt really old when I figured that out, but it's the truth, and that's how much of a powerful thing it can be. But it didn't happen overnight. I worked my ass off for it.
Well, you know, I don't think anybody's ever there, you know, and that's the cool thing about cooking is that, you know, for each plateau that you reach, you know, professionally, you know, there's always still something more to learn. There's always something more to explore.
No doubt.
There's always
Absolutely.
Another pinch of this, or, you know, cook it a little longer, you know, and that's what makes it fun, you know, for artistic people, you know, is that it is constantly evolving and changing. And I think artistic people, I know that they get bored very quickly. And that's what's so intoxicating about food is
yeah.
that, you know, you get good at making, you know, whatever thing, then you add a little bit of this or a little bit of that, or you learn a new recipe
so,
from a
Chad,
book, and you put your own variation on it. You know, it's endless.
So now that it's been a year, no restaurants, right?
None.
So do you find yourself cooking anything? Like, are you getting a little crazier in the home kitchen, or?
No, you know, my wife and I, we have very modest tastes, and you know, we've really made a concentrated effort not to be wasteful, not to be bougie out, you know, eating at all these different weird places and spending a lot of money on food. You know, I've the older I get, the simpler the food gets, you know, and the more honest it gets and the less contrived it gets. You know, when I was a young cook in San Francisco, you know, if I had, you know, 2 days off, then I would, you know, and I always worked two jobs or a stage somewhere. But if I had 2 days off, I would have like a dinner party where, you know, I'd have like my little handful of friends over, and I would try to do things kind of what you're suggesting, more, you know, experimental or crazy or whatever. But, you know, and I think that's a trapping of a young cook, you know. But as you get older and you understand technique more and you understand, you know, the food more, you know, things tend to get simpler and more rustic and more honest. And that's very much how we eat at home.
So true. Isn't it, Rob?
I couldn't agree more. I think less is more.
I agree so much.
Better ingredients.
Great product. Don't fuck with it. Just
serve
it, man. Well, Chad, this is one of the things I think is great about, you know, our industry and how it's changing. The fact that, you know, the three of us, you know, at this point, journeymen in this business, 40-year-old chefs sitting here chatting, you know, we'll have 1,000, 1,500 more people listen to us, and then even more will download it. But this here talking the business and how much the business has changed, that's a thing now. And I think that gentlemen like yourself have a small bite of that, of making that happen. So thank you for that, my friend.
Ah, man, thank you, Plum, and thanks for always backing us and
100%
and being just such a cool guy and always, you know, putting us on.
I'm rocking a True Cook shirt right now. I'm rocking
the
pant shirt.
That is not a lie.
I am, as a matter of fact.
Did you cut the sleeves off, or
did
they come
it got
cut
washed,
off?
You know, what are you going to do? It lost the sleeves. I'm sorry, brother, but that's the way it goes. It's the summer. I'm out here at the beach. What do you want from me?
We got tank tops dropping in a week or two.
There you go. Hey, real quick, before we let you go, brother, talk about some new drops that are coming out, man. I see some shit being posted on the Instagram. Looks amazing. What's coming up?
Thank you. Yeah, no, we're all real excited about the knife roll. You know, the tactical equipment carrier. You know, that I showed it to 700,000 people at the National Restaurant Association show, the R2 samples. I opened it. I closed it probably 20,000 times
wow.
over, you know, 5 days. And, there wasn't one person there that didn't say that they loved it. You know, the two pieces that we have for the past 3 months, they've been in constant fucking rotation of stuffing with knives, opening, unopening. We haven't detected any weaknesses yet. So, those, we've been doing pre-orders on, and, they're all going to ship, the first week of August. That's a huge one that we're super excited about, but really the new one that's coming is that we've, rekindled our relationship with the wonderful Hedley and Bennett. And,
beautiful aprons.
August 20th, save the date. We're going to have a block party, a True Cooks Hedley and Bennett block party. It's going to be a celebration launch for our new apron collabs. We're going to do four total different designs. First two drop there. We're going to do an all-day pop-up shop. We're going to have food trucks, games, all kinds of shit. It's going to be a total blast. Anybody in Southern California, surrounding areas, please come through, show your support, say what's up. It's going to be a lot of fun. Ellen's
Where's that going to be?
It's going to be at Hedley and Bennett's warehouse in Vernon, Los Angeles, California.
Awesome. That sounds bad.
So that's a big one for us. And then obviously all the regular stuff, man. We've got a lot of fun stuff that, you know, I'd love to be able to talk about, but it's got to be kind of a surprise. The fourth quarter is going to be really, we've got some really neat, fun stuff that I think people are going to get a kick out of. And continuing adventures of the new guy.
The new guy.
And we're having a lot of fun with that, man. And I'll tell you what, I'm so excited to see that people get it and that they're having fun with
it.
And you know, it's not mean-spirited. That's not the direction that it's going in. It's just something for us all to have fun with, and that's really the beginning of our printed material surprises that we have. And I've got a, you know, we did that Tales from the Shift thing a couple years ago, and I really, really want to see that fleshed out as a full story, you know. But again, you know, like I draw all this stuff. There's only so many hours in the day, man.
Right.
So, you know, but we've got a lot of fun stuff coming up, and one of the coolest things is that we're actually restarting the True Cooks team, and we're more to come on that. But you know, we've got a ton of totally unique, totally awesome chefs and cooks all over the world, actually, that are going to be part of this thing, and it's just an extension of True Cooks, and we wanted to put together a team of folks that have always supported us and stood by us, and try to do something for them while we collectively grow the brand, you know.
Very cool, man.
You know, just being at NRA, the National Restaurant Association show in Chicago, man, that's the country's largest restaurant show.
It's a big one.
In the largest convention center in the country. I didn't know that going into it, but after walking it for a couple of days, we found out real quick. Man, the amount of chefs and cooks that we were able to talk to and see and touch and have people say, oh, you know, I fucking love True Cooks. I've never had a more humbling experience in my life.
Dude, that's amazing. Well deserved, too. And you got to do me a favor. If those Hawaiian shirts come out, man, put a double XLs on the side for me and tell me they're in. I'll buy it. I want one badly.
Got it, brother. 100%. Consider it done.
I want it badly. Rob, any final words for Chad before we let him go?
Chad, thank you for so much for hanging out tonight. It was great to meet you over the phone. Would love to get together with you one day face-to-face.
Likewise, Rob. Thank you for that. Just the kind of guy I love to talk to, man. It's a real pleasure meeting you over the phone.
Hey, and we're excited, man. Rob and I are working on a pretty big event out here in Montauk, August 20th. 10 chefs on the beach doing it for Rethink New York. Chad, you ever heard of Rethink, man? They're awesome.
I've got to look into that. No, I'm unaware.
Dude, Rethink takes all of our leftover food from the kitchen, all of our, I don't want to say waste, but things we don't use.
Byproduct.
They repurpose it into meals and give it to homeless people and people who can't afford to have dinner for themselves. We're doing a big charity event August 20th. More on that to come soon. Chad, maybe I'll talk to you about it, man. Maybe you should come out here and cook with us. I don't know.
I love that, man. I really do. You know, we actually just started our first official charitable thing, and we're giving 20% of the proceeds of the Kitchen Veteran Hat to Wounded Warrior.
Very fucking cool, man.
Great cause.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, brother. Chad, you're the man. We appreciate your time, everybody. I don't need to tell you. TrueCooks.com, of course, at TrueCooks on Instagram. Look for it. And, of course, at is it the new guy on Instagram? Is that the account?
Is it it's the new guy by True Cooks. He's all linked up on the True Cooks page. And of course, Spiceology.
Oh.
The country's largest growing spice company, 100% chef-owned and operated.
Great fucking company.
I apologize in advance, McCormick's.
There you go. Our buddy Tony over there. What a great company. Chad, you're the man, brother. Enjoy the rest of your evening out there in Vegas. Hope you have got the beautiful weather like we do. And we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Appreciate it. Always a pleasure. Thanks, Plum.
You're the man, brother.
You guys have a great night.
We'll see you, buddy. Take care.
Good night.
There he goes. The one and only Chad Minton from True Cooks. What a cool guy, Rob. What do you think, huh?
Good times, man. Good people.
He's a great chef, man. He's just like us. He's a warrior.
It's good to see you can make it out the other side.
Right? That's it.
Yeah.
He made it out.
Yeah. It's like I look at that and I'm like, wow, there could be an end game.
That's it.
Yeah.
I do got to get me one of the Hawaiian shirts. I really want to wear that.
I think you would rock that.
Would you rock a Hawaiian shirt?
Absolutely.
You're damn right.
Yeah, man. I got white pants on.
We should have told him we wanted two of them.
Nah, it's cool, man. I'll buy mine.
Are you Crockett or you Tubbs? I don't know. We'll figure it out. Let's get a cigarette boat and ride along the water. That'll be amazing.
It's not 1989.
It always is 1989 to me. That's how I look at it.
Yeah. All right.
Big shout out to our buddy, Chef Rob Prado, joining us this evening, man. Thank you for coming and hanging out with me. And
thanks for having me, man. Thank you so much.
Of course, man. It wasn't hard, right?
Well, yeah, it was, you know.
Yeah. Rob was like, do I gotta talk on a microphone? And I was like, yeah, dude, just hang out, just have a beer and chat. It's good.
It's a little weird.
Nah, you're all right.
I do get it.
All right, guys, make sure you follow at truecooks.com. Of course,
truecooks.com.
Lots of great stuff. That new tactical knife roll coming out the
badass,
first week of August.
Badass. I'm not sure if I was supposed to buy the camouflage one or not.
Well, no, he's asking because he wants to see which one people like more. I know why he was asking.
I think he kind of mocked me.
No, he didn't mock you.
A little bit.
You're buying his product. Why would he mock you?
That's how we roll as chefs.
Okay, that's true. Hey, thanks for helping. You're great. By the way, you're an asshole.
Absolutely.
Or it's more like, hey, thanks for coming to help me out. Did you really wear those shoes?
Absolutely. He's laughing at me right now as he's playing cornhole in Vegas.
There you go. All right, guys. We'll see you guys next Monday night. I'll be back here in the studio having a guest in. Not sure who's going to be. I got a list of people, so we'll take it from there. But love hanging out tonight. Love having Rob here. Love talking to Chad from True Cooks. And ladies and gentlemen, it's really important that you please remember food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Make sure you give it the time it deserves. Big shout out to Rob. Big shout out to Chad from True Cooks. We'll see you guys next week. Have a great week. Peace.
Why are we arguing? If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.